So it is my pleasure to introduce the chair of this morning's session, Professor Madhav Badami, here at the School of Urban Planning and Environment at McGill. And Madhav has a number of incredible accomplishments, all of which he scribbled out because he wanted his introduction short. But there were two things about him that I thought you needed to know. One is that he got a degree in mechanical engineering at the India Institute of Technology, and the second is that he spent 9 years in diesel engine development. And that right away tells me that this is a man who is focused on practical questions and practical solutions. So with that, I'll turn it over to Madhav.
Thank you very much. And without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce the first speaker, Professor Vikram Bhatt. He's a professor of architecture at McGill, and he also directs the activities of the Minimum Cost Housing Group. He's directed a number of international collaboration and research projects in places like India, China, and Mexico, written and lectured widely on the subject of human settlements in developing countries. From 2004-2006, Vikram directed a global project titled Making the Edible Landscape that integrated urban agriculture in three cities and three continents. He's been involved in a number of research areas, including a study of the informal housing sector in India, how the other half builds, which was used to change formal low-cost housing norms, and the introduction of market housing ideas in China as well. And he's the author or co-author of several books. My pleasure to welcome Vikram to deliver his presentation.
Are we? Can you?
Oh, yes, sorry. Forward of the left.
Forward is the right, no?
Yeah, you're right, sorry.
Okay. Good morning. It's my pleasure to be amongst such a distinguished group of researchers and diverse group of people. I teach in School of Architecture, and I work in the field of shelter, housing, human settlements. Shelter is not limited only to the building or a shack, but it's related to, as in the morning session we saw, all other infrastructure. And the homestead itself brings many things. The landscape, which is very much part and parcel of, has been the source of livelihood for many people. It has been a source to transform our cities and so on. And for last several years, last decade almost, I have been involved intensely in integrating and transforming landscape in the cities and making what I would call edible landscapes around the world. An edible landscape, landscape which produces vegetables, maraîchère, which you consume on a daily basis, kitchen gardens, furnished things, really goes a long, long way in improving the life of individuals. And it makes families food secure. What is food security? Food security happens when all people at all times have access to enough food that is affordable, safe, and healthy, is culturally acceptable, and meets specific dietary needs. What we have been trying to do is expand this definition of the UFO and look at it by saying that food security happens if the food is obtained in a dignified manner and is produced in a way that is environmentally sound and socially just as well. If you look at the revolutions which have taken place in agriculture around the globe and through the history of the humanity, we began at the corner there in the circle which is shown in right, hand tools, and slowly but surely technologies have evolved. But majority of the population of the agriculturalists, if we look at it, out of 1.4, 1.5 billion agriculturalists, more than 400 million are using that primitive tool which I showed you at the top left-hand corner there. And there are only 28 million tractors in the world. Here are two very dramatic maps which tell the story. The top 10 territories for the tractor ownership are all in Europe. You can see in the top image. And look at the African continent, what it looks like. It just doesn't exist. And the rate at which acquisition of tractors is happening around the globe, you can see what's happening to India, what's happening to China. Its bulge is not as big, but you can see dramatic shifts which are happening in agriculture and technologies which are being introduced. It squeezes out subsistence farmer. Sure, we had Green Revolution, but we also had a major fallout because of this. Where do all these people end up? And we have been listening about these people for whole morning, and majority of them are living in squatter settlements and slums. So the projects that I have been involved in as an architect and our team has worked together, it's not just myself. These undertakings are never individual. If it becomes II, and I apologize. But what we have done is try to address on specific community-based interventions, upgrading and integration of greening in simultaneous ways, in a joint way, to address this challenge of shelter improvement and food security together. Colombo is the capital city of Sri Lanka. You know where it is. Geography 101 there. But when you look at the map of Colombo, it's like smallpox pot-marked face, which as a child we used to see. Now we have eradicated. But cities are full of those. And what you see as the red dot is one of the larger slum settlements there in which we were involved, in which we worked in upgrading and in integrating productive growing. This is the squatter settlements you see right on the eastern edge. It's extremely dense. It's about 25 years old, 500 families living in Northern Kalar. It's being upgraded with help of UNESCO, Dutch aid agency, local organizations, and we were involved with the help of IDRC to see whether upgrading and integration of productive growing can take place in these communities. These were the existing conditions, recycling materials, narrow lanes, very poor drainage, hardly any water supply. And there are no, even if Google goes there and takes aerial pictures, no maps, no cadastral information. So to begin with, one has to develop a base from which you regularize, you give allotments, you work in these communities. What we found out very quickly, it's a very dense slum. We knew that, but it's 50 square meters average per family. There's not a lot of space to grow. So what we have to do, propose innovative ways to integrate productive growing in these very dense and tight neighborhoods. And these are some of the proposals which were developed by our graduate students to see how in a very cost-effective, humble way, working with the communities, we can promote and implant productive growing. The physical upgrading was done on lane-by-lane basis. Priorities were identified by the community. Working with the local NGO, you can see top left-hand corner, animator is going and working with the community, measuring each and every laneway, making sure none of the houses are dislocated or destroyed, working out public rights of ways, introducing public open drains, components which were used. Outside the neighborhood, you deliver aggregates, every member of the community. Lanes are narrow. Trucks don't go. They work as a human chain. Concrete and other mixers prepared. Human chain delivers it. Working evenings and weekends, people produce upgrading. And as the time goes, suddenly you see the transformation which has taken place within that. And on top of it, what we're trying to is productive growing, working very closely with the Ayurvedic department. What we can grow in very tight, limited spaces, we're trying to find out how to work in a pointed way by producing and growing dietary supplements, dietary deficiencies which exist in the community, amongst women, iron deficiencies, and so on, and ways to grow things in very simple, cost-effective manner. Here you see recycling of tires, using of old plastic bags, using of plastic buckets, metal containers, everything practically recycled.
Here you see lessons being given by the agricultural department. And here you see the results. Look at the ordinary shack within which how much you can get as a produce from a bush bean plant. Bushels. How beautiful flowers, centuriums and others can grow. And introduction of animals within the same also. Rosario is another city where we were involved. After the economic crisis in 2000, what happened was there was nothing. People had chained themselves to the city hall. They said, give us food, give us employment. There is nothing available to us. Our involvement there in this city. It's a million plus inhabitants in that city along the Prana River, 60% poverty, 22% extreme poverty. How to optimize use of public land, individual lands which existed in the city, so that that could be put to productive use. GIS studies were done, gardens and parks and open spaces were all identified and cataloged, productive roadsides and other proposals were made, squatter settlements which were to be upgraded have been identified, you can see the roadways. The situation is quite very different compared to Colombo. Much more relaxed, a lot more space, 250 square meters per family, so the growing areas are more, plus marginal lands on the side, on the shoulders and so on, of the neighborhoods are available. Once again, engaging very closely design talents of the School of Architecture students at McGill, also in Rosario, working long distance on the internet and so on. We can visualize what it could be. People want to know. People want to be inspired, be partners in this. And this is a way to work. And here we are, our local partners, working with the community and showing them what it would be, what it could be, how they can become part and parcel of this. The roads which we are showing can become productive roads, sidewalks which can become places where you can have your own shops and businesses. And here are some of the design proposals. And you see, the city itself has set up productive agricultural programs, and they are supporting these activities. When people enter into productive growing, they have to be taken over the hump to start the garden. Somebody comes and tills the fields. Somebody comes and sets up some protective fences and so on. You can start production very quickly. You can see how, and these are pictures taken during winter, most of the growing, right from the beginning, it's all organic. Vermiculture, traditional compost, soaking and fermenting of weeds, which also serve as fertilizers. People are taught what to do. Very simple, modest growing. City has city-level competitions among artists to design scarecrows. Everyone becomes part and parcel of it, unless you bridge this connection between poor and rich and middle class, you're not going to get it. Inspired artist communities, communities which are working there. These are some of the smokers which are set up. European Union has come in. Italian partners have provided value-added strategic interventions so that people can bring in vegetables, wash them, wrap them nicely, display them. City sets up markets. So they have seahorses here. Sawhorses are there, baskets are there, they are taught. And in most prominent of the prominent places in the city, they are setting up markets. People display their wares. They are taught how to do it. It has become a gourmet scene. Suddenly you have bridged this divide. It's not only improving the shelter, it's also working very closely with them in producing things. At the peak of the economic crisis, more than 10,000 families in Rosario were participating in this. Two agro-industries were established. Income generation between 90 to 150. Municipality has set up the UA program. 17 hectares of gardens and parks. Last year, one of the fellows, she had gone there. She has not produced the report. With the economic upturn, there is a precipitous decline in number of gardeners. I'm waiting to see. The decline is quite dramatic in number of agriculturalists. how to negotiate that, we will see where to go with it. Poverty and hunger exist here at home. It's not only in other countries. 1 in 6 people in Quebec are food insecure. How are we going to reach them? And one of the most disadvantaged group of people are single mothers and mobility impaired. We have collaborated. We have been very fortunate to have some outstanding local NGOs, our design group within the School of Architecture at McGill, and local NGO Alternative and Centre Paul Roulant have been working. And here, right downtown, on the lower campus of McGill, Burnside Hall, about 3,000 square meter paved concrete gray area. This is what it looks like. All of you, those who are familiar with it, just in lunch break, you can walk over. We just have started again. It's a containerized growing, plants, very little architectural or design stuff put in there. It's community of volunteers, plants coming together to transform spaces. It's institutions. McGill has space, but not many students. There are volunteers who are there who can want to garden. There is a volunteer work which is producing and running Meals on Wheels programs. They need space to grow. They need a kind of dynamic. So it is the social engineering plus the physical kind of design and inspired way of working and reaching and breaking generational divide which exists between the elderly, mobility impaired, and the young. Young, those who are going to the university. They all come together on the campus where we have the garden 3 times through the season. Suddenly, we are cultivating a new generation of volunteerism on the campus itself. This is what it looks like in the winter. This is what it looks like just now. No plants just now if you went there. This is what it is, what happens when I eat my veggies and my stomach balloons. Bush beans take over and transform the entire plaza. It becomes a kind of, you suddenly realize what power the nature has. Little bridle paths. 3 days a week, there are volunteers who maintain the garden. One day, it's reserved for family with children. You're working not just university students, now you're working with all levels of generation and breaking. All the harvest goes to Meals on Wheels program, which you can see. Edible Campus is at the bottom dot. Centre Paul Roulant is at the top. From the Meals on Wheels, all the dots you see, they have between 80 to 100 clients whom they deliver 3 meals a day. And these are the locations where slowly but surely, year after year, we have expanded the garden. It becomes something quite unique. From gray, and there is nothing. It's very little stuff. What we saw, what we imagined, what it could be, and what it has become. What it becomes. In 2010 output, we surpassed 1 ton. More than 30% of daily fresh produce needs of the Meals on Wheel program comes from a volunteer run on the campus. Fresh vegetable baskets go out now because we have expanded the program. We are sending fresh food baskets in food desert in Little Burgundy. There are many other people working in this field. This is what was the gift given by Madame Obama to the G8 summit participants. A tea set and honey grown on the White House. What is the policy question I would like to ask at the end of the day? Why we do not allow growing of food or keeping of animals in our cities? I really don't know why. Because I know we do that every day. In the U.S., the expenditure in 2007 on pet industry was more than $40 billion. But we do not allow production to take place. What's needed is to put this on a war footing. This is a poster I have taken from in the Victory Gardens from the First War. Sow the seed of victory if we really want to go far. Plant and raise veggies, your own veggies, every garden, not a munition plant, but at least a plant which will bridge the divide. Thank you.